Earlier this week, a good friend of mine from Hudson, Wisconsin, texted me, and he and his wife had been on a little holiday down in New Orleans with some friends, and his good friend, who was a pretty strapping guy, within about 3 days got exceedingly sick and is now on a ventilator. They don't really know what's going on. Everything's kind of shutting down, and he texted me because he wanted me to include him in my prayers. And I said, sure, Dave, I will. I said, we never really know what's going to happen. And he texted me back this line. It stuck in my head and in my heart. We are all one event away from being a different person. We are all one event away from being a different person. You know, we gather tonight on Holy Thursday when we celebrate the institution of the Eucharist and of the sacramental priesthood. And how many times have you been to Mass? Hundreds? Maybe 1,000 if you hit a lot of daily Masses. And each time we celebrate the heart of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. So my question for all of us, including me, who's been celebrating Mass since 84, and John Kramer, how long have you been celebrating Mass? Since what year? 1959, great. I was 4 years old. My question is this: are we different persons because of this? Are we different persons? The Eucharist is called the sacrament of unity. We used to sing, oh, may we all one bread, one body be in this blessed sacrament of unity. It's not a pious thought. It's not really about theology, but it's really a way of life. And in the scriptures, we heard Jesus talk about, do you see what I have done for you? And as I have done, you also should do. Do what? Let's think about this for a minute. Jesus did not construct any church buildings. He didn't found any parishes. He didn't start any dioceses. What did he do, basically? He gathered a community of believers whom he called disciples. He gathered a community of believers called disciples. So if we're going to do, we need to think of three things that he did. First of all, gathering. That's an active verb. It means we go out of our way and we invite and we bring in and we try to keep together so they don't wander away, like when the fences are down and the calves are out. He gathered a community. Community doesn't just happen overnight. It's about relationships. And like any group that we might belong to, some of the people in the group we really like, and some we'd wish they didn't show up. But community. His community, which was a pretty ragtag bunch, included Judas. But he accepted him all the same. Lastly, it was a community of disciples. And what does that mean? It means people that he had to spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours discussing with and teaching them and forming them so that they would come to understand how crazy his message was, because he was pushing against everything that the world had set into place as far as what was proper and what was acceptable. There must have been all kinds of misunderstandings and no, that's not what I meant. Think about this. And he did that even with some knowledge of Judas. So, if we're supposed to do what he did, how did he do it? Thought you'd never ask. He did it by breaking and sharing his life. Breaking and sharing his life. He was serving them. He wasn't being an equal. We get that mixed up sometimes, like equality is the most important thing. Jesus is never going to be our equal. He's God. So if he was going to be just equal like us, a buddy just like us, for him to wash his feet or our feet would be no big deal. No, no, no. He couldn't be just like us. And so to do what he did, he got below us. He became the slave. He became the servant. That's why Peter said, "Wait a minute, you're not going to wash my feet." To which Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no share in my kingdom." So at the Last Supper, he did this very shocking thing, the thing that the servants at the doors were supposed to do. He knelt down and became a slave. And at every Mass, he does something even more shocking. He tells us to eat his body and drink his blood, to take into ourselves, into our mouths, into our stomachs, his very flesh, so that we can be his presence in the world. And if that doesn't shock you, then you have failed to grasp what the Eucharist really is. Not just a little reenactment of the Last Supper with a wafer. It's the real deal. So, do you understand then why it's ludicrous to skip Mass? Do you understand that why, barring sickness or death, any reason that we ever have is a poor excuse? If we understand what happens at this table. Do you understand there's a lot of Catholics, but there would be millions more if we started to live what we say that we believe? People would go, "Oh my God, what are these people doing? I want some of that." One of the reflections I read this week preparing for Holy Thursday, this woman spiritual writer wrote this. I thought this was great. She says, "I don't partake communion because I'm a good Catholic, pious and sleek. I partake because I'm a bad Catholic, riddled by doubt and anxieties and anger. I'm fainting from severe spiritual hypoglycemia of the soul. I need food." Do you need the Eucharist? Or is it just an extra? Do you need the Eucharist? Do you need to be more forgiving and reconciling and accepting and reconciling and charitable and kind? Do you need to do that? Do you need the hospitality of Christ in your heart so that you can in turn go out and to be hospitable and compassionate and forgiving to others? Are you one event, one Eucharist, away from being a different person? Do this in memory. As I have done, you also must do. Oh, may we all one bread, one body be in this blessed sacrament of unity. May God bless us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.